5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
I will build the greatest wall that you've ever seen.
I already know what it should look like.
You take precast plank, it comes 30 feet long, 40 feet long, 50 feet long. You see the highways where they could span 50, 60 feet, even longer than that, right? And you do a beautiful, nice precast plank with beautiful everything, just perfect. I want it to be so beautiful, because maybe someday they're going to call it the Trump Wall, maybe. So I have to make sure it's beautiful, right? I'll be very proud of that wall. If they call it the Trump Wall, it has to be beautiful.
The Great Wall of Trump. Are you ready for that? Good morning, everybody. Is that something you want to spend $200 billion taxpayer dollars on? You know, there were dueling rallies last night. That was Donald Trump from last night. He was also on with Maria Bartiromo on Fox Business this morning. I was on that program also. We monitored everything he said, including a statement where he really is getting into this whole notion of labeling that wall the Great Wall of Trump. I remember when Barack Obama took Obamacare, which was a kind of a derisive, insulting label that Republicans had put on his national health care scheme. He adopted it, said, okay, Obamacare, and he now has accepted that as one of his legacy items, if not the largest or the one the most impactful, Obamacare. Now Trump taking this wall, which many have derided, and said, you know what, this is going to be the Great Wall of Trump, comparing it to the walls you see along freeways and highways that block neighborhoods out from the noise, the hustle and bustle of the interstates. You know, I can see it also. I can also see Mexicans digging under it with 50-cent shovels and climbing over it with ladders they can buy at Walmart. But I'll have more on that in a second. I just want to give you a little nod about Jimmy Carter, the 39th president, now 90 years old, and as Noam has been reporting all morning, now announcing to the public that he has this melanoma in the liver. He has lost many close family relatives to this disease, this awful consuming disease. The president also sharing with us that it has spread to his brain. I have to say that I've always thought that Jimmy Carter was one of our most underrated presidents. If it were not for the Iran hostage crisis, if it were not for the fact that the rescue attempt, was ill-fated and we did not manage, the United States, Jimmy Carter as president, as commander-in-chief, did not manage to free our people. If he had, or if that had not happened, of course, but I think he would have been regarded as a much better president. He has been, Noam Layden, a wonderful, wonderful former president. I've been with him in some of these countries as he goes around monitoring elections, ensuring that emerging democracies are indeed democratic. I was with him in Venezuela when Hugo Chavez was surging. Hugo Chavez had been an army officer who had a coup, took over the government of Venezuela, replaced a pro-American, pro-business government with a socialist Castro sycophants in Venezuela. But Carter monitored the election and indeed certified that it was a fair election and that the Venezuelan people had voted to put Hugo Chavez in office. My point is that he has had a wonderful, wonderful career as a person fighting for democracy, as a humanitarian. He's been building homes for the homeless all around the world. Just a wonderful man who I think history will come to regard. I see him ticking up, actually, in the popularity polls of past presidents, interestingly enough. And I think a lot of it is because of his post-presidential career. But telling us now that he has this terrible cancer, Noam, and yeah. He is 90 years old, buddy.
You know, what he said as I'm monitoring this press conference, he said when they told him that he had brain cancer, he thought he just had weeks to live. Now they told him that's not the case. He says he's okay with the diagnosis. He said, surprisingly, he says, I'm okay with the diagnosis. And his first treatment comes today after he finishes his press conference. So
he said weeks to live, but the President Carter said that?
He thought when the doctors told him the diagnosis, he said in his head, he said, I just have weeks to live. But they told him, no, that's not the case, that they'll start the treatment. So that's when he said he was surprisingly at ease with the diagnosis, that there's not much I can do about it. But he begins the treatments today when he finishes his press conference.
Just a great heart. He really is a great heart, a sincere man. Even if you were disparaging of him during his presidency, being attacked by the rabbit while jogging and all the rest of that silly stuff, his brother kind of off the deep end there. But still, he's just been a wonderful, wonderful representative.
The trademark smile is on full display as he takes questions from the press here at the Carter Center. I mean, just big smiles.
All right. A different kind of smile from a much different kind of man is leading the news today. You know, you might have guessed this, Donald Trump, the stud, in New Hampshire last night, all swagger, size, not just the man, but the crowds, easily beating Jeb Bush by a mile. I know it's early. Crash, get this bite about anchor babies out. Anchor babies are children born in this country to immigrants who are here without either without proper documentation or just visiting or just have come to have babies here. So the babies would be citizens. Here's what Trump had to say about anchor babies, a very pejorative term in my view.
A woman is going to have a baby. They wait on the border. Just before the baby, they come over to the border. They have the baby in the United States. We now take care of that baby, Social Security, Medicare, education. Give me a break.
So there he is on anchor babies. And then he was asked, about why use that term. Hillary says they're not anchor babies, they're babies. Why not just say they are babies? He was very, very unrepentant, though. He says they are anchor babies. And as you just heard there, he continues that attack on the 14th Amendment, that aspect of the 14th Amendment. I know there are some legalists out there, namely Ann Coulter and Laura Ingraham, who believe that the 14th Amendment doesn't say what the Supreme Court says it says. I think that he is wrong. But I want to go back to the stud aspect of it. I just think that when you compare the crowds last night, for example, the size of Trump's crowds easily beating Jeb Bush's by a mile and all the rest of it. I know it's early, but I think that it now is dawning on a lot of people. And I told you, I warned you, or I counseled you, or I advised you, or I gave you my opinion that you should not take his candidacy lightly. And that was just as he was announcing. And that was strictly from my personal experiences with him and spending that time with him on Celebrity Apprentice and so forth. But now, and again, I know it's early, it's 5 months from the first votes, but there is nothing, no one on the horizon now that seems about to change Trump's momentum. Let's face it. He has the charisma, as I was saying on Fox Business with Maria Bartiromo this morning, the confidence. He has the energy of a trained performer. The other is even including once flamboyant personalities like Chris Christie, like New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. They seem cowed by Trump's outsized personality and by his presence. And it seems to me, Noam, that they're almost afraid to take him on. And in any case, none of the other candidates is going to get a personality makeover in time to make any difference. They're flat. They are rote. Trump is all flash and bang. And for that reason, and this, fasten your seatbelts. Right now, I say Trump is the odds-on favorite, at least in my book right now, to win the Republican nomination. The real question is whether he can win the White House in a general election without any any meaningful black support or Latino support or Jewish support or Asian support or female support. If he gets one-fourth of all of the groups I just named, I don't think he can win. But the answer, I think more broadly and more fairly, is maybe he can win, especially against a candidate as lackluster as the former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Before I get into her situation and this whole email controversy, which I think will not amount to a hill of beans, but is just going to wear her down and portray her as someone who is dishonest or lacks frankness or truthfulness. I think that it could wear her down. And the most amazing poll out now, Noam, in Florida, Trump is now trouncing the homegrown competition. He is beating the current senator, Marco Rubio. He is beating the former governor, Jeb Bush, on their own turf. And if they can't beat Trump in Florida on their own turf, where can they beat him? He's leading the presidential primary race in Florida. He's got 21% of the support compared to Bush at 17%. This according to the Quinnipiac University poll that was just released this morning. And he's beating Marco Rubio, who's got 11%. So Marco Rubio, for all the press that he gets about this this young man and all new ideas and watch him serve. He's at 11% in his own state against Trump at 21%. Bush, who is a very popular governor in Florida and a man who's based there, who lives there, Bush is at 17 to Trump's 21%. I mean, this is really amazing. And Trump seems to be gaining in confidence. Also, I want to get into that. I want to get to your calls at 866-HERALDO. I notice the board full already. Be patient. Call in. Get into the discussion. We're going to talk about the drip, drip, drip of Hillary Clinton's email flap, in the words of the Republican National Committee note they sent out this morning. We'll talk about Trump even so confident he's taking on Pope Francis. He's taking on the Pope, you know, because of what the Pope said about capitalism. So it's all about Trump. It's all about politics and Clinton and the scandal and your calls.
I just don't think it's legitimate to say that we're going to change our Constitution and that's going to solve our problem. I don't think that that's the proper thing to do.
Governor,
if fraud or if there's abuse, if people are bringing, pregnant women are coming in to have babies simply because they can do it, then there ought to be greater enforcement. That's legitimate side of this. Greater enforcement so that you don't have these anchor babies, as they're described, coming into the country.
He's a very low-energy person, Jeb Bush. He's got very low energy, which is okay. It's good if you want to, lead a long life.
There's Trump just with a devastating put-down. That's what he is so good at, and I think that is why many otherwise more bellicose broadcasters and politicians are keeping their powder dry when it comes to Trump. They don't want to be attacked. They're remembering how he savaged Megyn Kelly in the aftermath of the big debate on Fox, my beloved Fox. I think Megyn handled it with great dignity and skill. Still, who wants to live through that? All right, your turn. 866-HERALDO. What are you thinking about? Here's Tom. Tom, what's up?
Hi.
What's up? You're on the air. What are you thinking about?
Yeah. Well, basically, I have a couple things. First of all, my whole family is from Jersey. We're Democrats. I've been listening to what Trump has to say with my wife, and we're switching. We're definitely all in for Trump. And what he basically is saying that all the illegals, they're going back, and that money that we're going to save is going to be going into our Social Security for people who deserve it. And
now,
I'm all for that. They want to cut Social Security, and that money can be funneled back to fill Social Security, and I'm all for that.
And when you and your wife, I'm assuming this is literally what happened, when you discuss how all the undocumented, the illegals are going to be going back to their country, do you ever think through how that actually will unfold?
Oh, well, though, we put a person on the moon. It's no problem. I think Trump can do it in a weekend.
You tell me. You're president. You got all the power in the world. How are you going to do it?
Watch. Can you hear this? Yeah, how you doing? Is this guy here? We just want to see his credentials. Handcuff him, put him in the paddy wagon, to the airport, fly him home.
What about his wife and children? What about his wife and children?
If you bring him back, you shoot him.
So you shoot him if he comes back. What about his wife and children?
You take them. Are you here legally? Yes or no? No? You pick them up, put them in the paddy wagon. As they're crying, we don't care anymore. America does not care about people crying anymore. Go back to your country. Wake up your own government to build a good country for yourself.
Okay,
bye-bye.
I got it. I got it.
Social security.
I got you, buddy.
Social security.
I got it. I got it. I want to. I think that when you act that out in your mind, ladies and gentlemen, therein lies the rub. Hi, John from Edgewater. What's up?
Yeah. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hi.
You're on.
Geraldo?
Yes.
Well, I just want you to know. A couple of days ago, there was a lady called you. And she was attacking you and calling you every name, racials, and I've been listening to you for the last 2 years, Geraldo. I have not met someone as fair as you are in dealing with the issue. And I truly want to say that loud and clear. In the meantime, as far as, let's go back to Mr. Trump.
Sure.
You know what, Geraldo, and you know it best, every circus needs a clown. And Mr. Trump is really the clown in the circus. It takes 15 minutes for the clown. The crowd will cheer and be happy and smile and so on. And then the clown disappears. That's exactly how I see Mr. Trump.
Well, first of all, I appreciate your sentiments about me, you and your wife. I send you my love about Trump. I don't know. This clown act has legs, I feel. And I think that right now, he is the favorite to win the GOP nomination. I don't know who else can take it from him. Who's going to surge in the sense that suddenly they'll become popular where now Trump is trumping them with the power of his personality?
Sergeant Bergler, does anybody remember that name? So this is the way we think. So we get a traitor named Bergler, a dirty, rotten traitor, who, by the way, when he deserted, six young, beautiful people were killed trying to find him, right? And you don't even hear about him anymore. Somebody said the other day, well, he had some psychological problems. Well, you know, in the old days, bing, bong, when we were strong.
All right, there's Trump ridiculing the Obama administration decision to trade the five Taliban, the hardened terrorists, in exchange for Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, the man who arguably deserted his unit, tried to inculcate himself with the Taliban in Afghanistan. We traded for Bergdahl. We got Bergdahl back, such as he is. It is that. It is precisely that kind of cutting, very cold, simple, hard logic that appeals to so many people. I think that is really at the heart of what Trump is all about. No niceties, no talking around it. He tells you how he feels, in this case, about Bo Bergdahl and what should have happened. That noise, by the way, I don't know if you saw it on TV, the bing, the bang. That was him, Trump, doing the gun, the whole gun thing. So, he is really making an impact. His crowds in the many, many hundreds, maybe into the thousands yesterday, last evening in New Hampshire, Jeb Bush probably struggling to get 150. Christie and Rubio also had events in New Hampshire yesterday. They were sold out, but again, in much smaller venues than the one Trump planned. He's going to Mobile, Alabama. He was on Fox Business News with Maria Bartiromo this morning. I was on her panel as Trump told us about a speaking engagement he has coming in Mobile, Alabama. They were going to do in a theater capacity 2,000, and now they're doing it in a football stadium capacity 30,000. So I don't know what derails Trump. He's already, attacked all the Mexican race with his disparaging remarks about Mexican immigrants. That didn't derail him. He said of John McCain, is John McCain really a hero? That he, Trump, prefers GIs who are not captured to those who are captured. That would have been other ordinary mortal, would have been the kiss of death, and yet he withstood that. He talked about bodily fluids when it comes to females and women in journalism. That didn't derail him. If anything, he has been strengthened by these points. In the meantime, on the Democratic side, Hillary Clinton is wallowing. She's down from 56% approval in July to 47% approval. Now it's the first time she's been below 50%. It's the lowest she's been you know, she's been a public figure for so long. It's the lowest she's been since 2001. So, and just as I don't see anything stopping the Trump runaway express, I don't see how Hillary gets remade and recast. She is, you know, one of those people that if you don't like her, there's nothing she's doing or saying or the way she is doing or saying it that is likely to change your mind. You know, and this whole, I think it's unfair. I think the treatment of the Clintons have been unfair since, you know, he ran for governor of Arkansas way back in the day. And yet, you know, he certainly didn't help things. Bill Clinton, the former president, with his philandering ways. But, you know, there is a total distrust, not a total, but now over 50% distrust of her. And I don't think that it is likely. Actually, let me take a couple of Hillary remarks to 866-Geraldo. This is James in Long Island. What's up, James? What are you thinking about?
Good morning, Geraldo. How are you?
Good, buddy.
Even if you take out everything that Hillary did as Secretary of State and just put it off to the side.
Okay.
I mean, you could trace back to Arkansas that she does. She is a committed liar. She lied for her husband, constantly blaming other people when she knew what he was doing. I think they had more of a contract than a marriage. He becomes president first, she becomes president second, and then they both go their own ways. I think Barack Obama spoiled that for her. And now I think she has bigger problems this time around. Now, if you bring even if you don't bring in the Secretary of State stuff, she's got problems with people not being able to just believe her.
They give her no benefit of the doubt. They think of her as having the appearance of dishonesty, even if she is not dishonest. Now, those are the words, not of a Republican, but of our friend, Congressman John Yarmuth. We've had him on the program many times. He's a Democrat from Kentucky, representing the Louisville area. And he is saying, and he's very prominent in the House Democratic Caucus, that this issue, the emails, could upend her campaign. I just never feel I have a grasp of what the facts are, said the five-term Democrat John Yarmuth, our buddy, the Democrat from the Louisville, Kentucky area. And if he's deserting that ship, maybe it is sinking. Adam in Long Island. Adam, tell us about yourself, buddy.
Yeah, Harold, how you doing? Look, I'm a Mexican immigrant. I was born in Tijuana, Mexico. We came from nothing, you know, no electricity. My father came here and got us here. But one thing I want to say about that nobody has said anything about is that these immigrants create a lot of revenue for a lot of people.
I agree.
It's not only restaurants. Look, I don't think it's ever going to happen, but a guy from New Jersey said, I'll just walk up to them, take them out. All those people that they rent houses to, what are they going to do with those mortgages? They're going to go under because nobody's going to pay for that. And these workers, all of these workers, these guys work excavators for $10, $12 an hour. You see these guys on their knees laying brick? All these Italian companies, not one white guy's laying brick. All those guys are Spanish guys, and nobody else will do that. And here's what else. I ran a car wash for about 6 years. I'm not going to say which car wash it was, but the owner made them bring a Social Security card. And look, Ricardo, I know that it's not a real Social Security card, but they took tax out of every one of those guys. Those guys have been 15 years. That money's going somewhere. The government, and they can't get it back because it's a fake.
Let me ask you a more basic question, because you were born in Mexico. Can you see what Trump is doing is kind of generating a hateful kind of atmosphere that will impact your children?
Without question. And I look, and everybody said it. If everybody's tired of all this stuff that's going on in Washington, and look, frankly, so am I. We need somebody who's going to do something, but Trump is not just going to be able to go and do whatever he wants. It's obvious Republicans don't like it that much. Everything that he wants to do has to go through the Senate, through the House. He doesn't just say, okay, build that wall. Okay, you guys do this, like he does in his company. See, a lot of people who don't understand how government works, oh, yeah, that's what he's going to do. All right, let's do it. I'll vote for that guy.
Are you worried? Are you scared?
Well, look, I'm not scared of anything. I was in the Army. I came from Geraldo. I came from nothing. I grew up in a really bad area. I'm not afraid of anything. I own a couple of houses now. I work every day. I'm filthy right now because I'm working, but that's okay. But I look at the sides every day. But nobody says that. Who's going to rent those houses out? they eat. Go to any breakfast place. There's 10, 20, 30, 40 guys there every single day buying breakfast and lunch. Those people are going to lose revenue. These people who have restaurants, nobody's going to work for $8 an hour and wash dishes for 12 hours a day. They have to work 12 hours a day, but the guys need them to do it. They're willing to do it. And nobody has added that equation. Not one Republican, not one Democrat. Nobody has ever said that. And they've left that out. That's going to create a vacuum. Where's all that money going to come from?
A day without a Mexican there. There have been documentaries about it. Adam, I appreciate it. Excellent call. Thank you very much. Listen, it's 47 minutes after. I'm eager to talk to you all. 866-HERALDO. The Dow opened and went down 250 points. It's fighting its way back. Now it's down 180. But obviously a bad day on Wall Street. A lot of it having to do with the collapse in the price of oil, which is approaching the $40 a barrel level. It was above $100 a barrel last summer, and they're saying that by the time the year ends, we'll be paying about $2 for a gallon of gas. Before we, speaking of the economy, before the break, we had a fellow Adam on who was born in Tijuana in Mexico. His family came here. I didn't ask if he came legally or illegally with documentation or without it. I assume they just walked over the border there in Tijuana or came as visitors and stayed, but they are now regularized, now citizens. And Adam talked about no one is mentioning the hit that American businesses will take if there's massive deportation of these folks. He talked also about how all of the, he said in the colloquial, all of the Italian-owned construction companies, how they now are using almost exclusively these undocumented immigrants, all with fake Social Security cards, the contractor insisting on a Social Security card to cover their own asses when it comes to the federal law. And then these immigrants paying into fake accounts, they have no chance of ever redeeming. But the other side of the story is Rich from Brick, who wrote us. He's on the line now. He's one of those contractors who's being, challenged, let's say, by the liberal use of undocumented immigrants in contracting. Rich, thanks. What's going on with your business?
Yeah, well, I have a small family business in New Jersey that we started out from nothing 30 years ago and built it to what it is today. We have 20 employees, and now we're out there servicing. We happen to service restaurants, and we charge on average $100 an hour. So,
and what do you do? What do you do? What kind of business is it?
A repair business.
Okay.
For the back of the house, ovens, fryers, steamers, dishwashers.
Gotcha.
So we go in and we charge the end user $100. Now, my guys, they all have benefits, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, hospitalization, paid time off, and they make $35, $40 an hour plus benefits. Now I have a guy come in who, as a competitor, goes to him and say, hey, I'll work for you for $50 an hour, $40 an hour, no travel time, and you don't have to worry about nothing. Why are you paying this guy over here $100? I'll do it for $20. I'll do it for $30. I'll do it for $40. And it's kicking my ass. I mean, every year we lose market share. We're going smaller and smaller and smaller. It's getting to a point where eventually I ain't going to have a business.
What are you going to do about it, Rich? What are you going to do? Are you going to go that way? Are you going to start hiring the undocumented? Are you going to start cutting back on benefits to your citizen employees?
Yeah,
what are you going to do?
The first thing that's going to go is going to be benefits. You know, the biggest one is health insurance. It's outrageous what we pay in health insurance now. And it ain't going to kick in until 16 when Obamacare kicks in. And then right now, the last 3 years, it went up about 20% every year.
Right. Mine too.
16,
mine more, well, mine went up more than that.
Huh?
Mine went up more than that, but good. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah. No. We ain't going to be able to keep up with it. And what we'll do is we just have to pull in everything and make ourselves smaller and operate with a smaller team. And
Rich, stand by.
She went through a long process to become a citizen of this country, and she thinks it's a wonderful process to go through. And when she got it, she was very proud of it. Mm-hmm. You know, she came from Europe, and she was very, very proud of it. And she thinks it's a beautiful process when it works. Now, we can expedite. One of the things I really want to do, I want to take in really talented people, too. You know, in Silicon Valley, they can't get talent. I mean, no matter what you do, you can't get talent. And so I want to take in people from Europe, from Asia, from all over the world that have talent. If you graduate number one in your class from Harvard or the the Wharton School of Finance or Yale and you're from another country, they throw you out of the country. You can't come back in. I don't want to do that. I want to keep these really talented people.
All right, that's Trump talking about how his immigration policy, however draconian for the low-end workers would be, on the high end, he's all for keeping the best and the brightest who come here. I totally agree with him on this one. I remember those old World War II movies, Noam, where, you know, the downed pilot, American pilot, is being interrogated by the Japanese officer who says in this burlesque kind of pigeon English, "I studied at your UCLA," the Japanese officer says to him. But the fact of the matter is, it makes sense. If you educate these people, why not keep them? It just makes all the sense in the world.
Of course. You know, I, in my neighborhood, there's a house in the neighborhood where there's all these Chinese students have lived together. There's like six apartments in it, and they're all engineering students at Stevens Institute in Hoboken, which is one of the better engineering schools in the country. And so sometimes I talk to them, and I say, hey, do you want to stay here or do you want to go back home? And it's amazing how many of them say they want to stay here, but they don't know how to make it happen.
How to make it happen. Well, Trump could help make it happen. Of course, you get people squawking about that, too. I am sure there'll be people that say, well, you know, my son, my daughter graduated in, you know, some of this digital stuff and can't get a great job at Google. And now they're going to work. You know, I understand that. But I want these brains. I want that hybrid vigor. I want to harness that energy. I want to do it on both ends of the spectrum, the high end, these intellectuals, the engineers and the scientists and so forth, and the low end, the people who are willing to deliver pizza at 2 a.m. in February in New York on a bicycle. One thing, just talking about extreme temperatures, now the officials, I'm going to get to your calls momentarily, folks, and I appreciate them at 866-RALDO, 866-437-2536, and we have some great calls holding. I just want to give you this heads up. Federal officials now say that July was the hottest month on Earth on record, the hottest month ever. And if you see these fires raging on the western half of the country, that's the most glaring negative evidence of this phenomenon. The hottest month ever, July. Another thing is happening, to all my brothers and sisters in Puerto Rico. There is now Hurricane Danny has formed in the Atlantic Ocean. It's the first hurricane of the Atlantic season. Right now, the winds are only around 75 miles an hour, but they're saying that by Monday night, could be hitting the east end of Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is desperate for the rain that the storm will bring. There's been kind of a drought, as if Puerto Rico didn't have enough problems. There's been a drought, a terrible drought in Puerto Rico, so they can use the rain. But I always worry, my house is right on the ocean, and that crashing surf could easily be 10 foot higher than it usually is. So I keep an eye on that in a very, very personal way. I know, before I get to the call, is any other information about that Victoria's Secret police action? What's going on?
You know, I give credit to Jill, Flirty Flipper, if you know her. She's the producer of Curtis and Kubi, came in and told me she saw it on the sidewalk. We've put a couple calls into the store itself. Nobody responding, which makes me think it's an ongoing thing. Police not responding, but we're hearing from people that, yeah, they cleared the sidewalk in front of the store, 34th and 6th Avenue. Now, on any given day, there are numerous bomb threats in the city, and hopefully that's all it is. It turns out to be nothing, but of course we're following to see what goes on.
I can't see a terrorist attacking Victoria's Secrets.
Yeah, of all places.
Yeah, of all secrets. We had Rich before the news break at the top of the hour. Rich, a contractor who does kitchens, basically. Does, you know, putting in a new refrigerator, new ovens, fryers, and all of that kind of gizmos in restaurants, talking about how contractors using undocumented Mexicans are stealing his lunch, in essence, in a literal way, taking away his business. And he was kind of cut off there at the end because we ran out of time because of the news break. But Rich has rejoined us. Are you there, man? Hello, Rich?
Yeah.
Hi.
So, hey, Rollo.
All right. So you know, let me just say, here's a comparison that I thought of during the news break. If you're a medallion taxi owner and you one of these yellow cabs, you have the medallion was worth over $1 million a year ago. Now, because of Uber, it's worth like half that. Do you think that maybe your business model no longer works given the reality of the fact that you have, you know, your competition
using these unauthorized migrants as their basic labor pool. They can undercut you all day long while still paying $10-$15 an hour to people desperate for that kind of money when you're paying $40-$60 an hour. What do you think, Rich? Can you survive or will you have to find another way to do business?
Yeah, I see the handwriting on the wall for my business and my family. If it continues going in the direction it's going with the overhead and to try and compete with what we call trunk slammers, that's a guy who works out of his trunk and works from
trunk
his cell phone.
Slammers. I got you.
Yeah. So they keep all their parts and tools in their trunk and they drive up and do repairs in a restaurant. I can't compete with that any day of the week. And they're everywhere now. There used to be a couple here, a couple there, and now there's one living on every block, it seems. So for me to compete with that in the market is impossible. My men who work for me, I mean, we have a 401k program. We have health insurance, prescription, these kind of things. The first thing that's going to happen, I'm going to cut them. And then the talent that I have, the mechanics and technicians, are going to start going elsewhere to work.
Do you think that they will become trunk slammers?
No, I think they'll go into a different industry. They're still young, a lot of them, and they'll find other ways to make money. But they're not going to stay with me.
So tell me how you feel. I don't sense anger. I sense more resignation. I mean, how you feel about your own life and your family now, Rich? Are you angry at the migrants? Are you angry at Democrats? What's your feeling?
Well, I'm angry at the circumstances. I mean, I the overhead with health insurance, it's just killing us. It goes up 20% the last 3 years. In 16, my insurance guy said it's going to double. And if I got to turn to my guys and say, you're going on Obamacare, that's another reason they may leave. Trying to hold on to qualified people in the industry I'm in is tough. So it's just, it's tough enough making ends meet to not have people who are coming, as I call them, trunk slammers, and they're undercutting us every day in the marketplace. I just can't compete with that. So what will eventually happen, what I started to say before, is we'll just shrink the size of our company. Instead of having 15 techs on the road, we'll bring it down to 3-4, and we'll just keep the family in the office to run it. And we'll make a living. But we ain't going to make the kind of living that we're making now. I mean,
I hear you, brother. I hear you. I appreciate the call. Really, very sincere. And I wish I had an answer for you. I don't, but I do appreciate your frankness and your sharing your story with us. Thanks, man. All right, what are you thinking? Let me go to...
Can I jump in for 1 second? I just want to give you an update.
Julio,
on...
okay. Here's Julio. Hey, Julio from Nashville. What's on your mind, buddy? Thanks for calling.
Yes, sir. Just a couple of commentary.
Okay.
I'm legal here. I've been here 30 years, all right? And I'm in school. I'm putting myself through college. I'm doing engineering and computer science, all right? And a couple of things that I noticed is that everything that Fox come up with, it's just bad, bad. Everything, whatever an illegal does bad, that's what they show. They never show cases like mine or like...
Oh, I agree with you. That's one of my prime beefs I have with my friends and colleagues here at Fox News, that, you know, the only anecdotes they tell about undocumented immigrant is when they slaughter a pretty girl in San Francisco or commit some awful rape in Texas. But your story, I think, is far more common, obviously, because... every survey, I keep coming back to this, every survey shows that the undocumented commit fewer crimes. Yeah, I'll read right here. A new report from the Immigration Policy Center notes that while the illegal immigrant population in the U.S. more than tripled between 1990 and 2013 to more than 11.2 million, quote, FBI data indicate that the violent crime rate declined 48%. Which included falling rates of aggravated assault, robbery, rape, and murder. Likewise, the property crime rate fell 41%, including declining rates of motor vehicle theft, larceny, robbery, and burglary. I mean, that's the good news that the immigrants are a lot better behaved than the citizens. But Julio, how'd you get here?
Listen, I came over here from Mexico.
But did you just walk across? How old were you?
No, my uncles, they did. Through the border. Back then, it was easier. You know, they didn't ask for anything. I remember I was in a car with my uncle and they just waved us.
You just drove right across.
That's it.
All right, what happens, Julio, if you're facing the wall that Donald Trump wants to build? What do you do then?
Well, listen, I'm about to finish civil engineering and computer science. As a matter of fact, I got to go and pay tuition right now. What I do, I serve at night, I work at night, I save all the money last from January to right now, and I got to go and pay the $4,500 that I got to pay in tuition, all right?
Good luck to you, man. You sound like the kind of person that America wants. Well, how do you respond to the guy that just called and said that you're stealing jobs from Americans?
He beat me, seriously. I mean, I mean, what to think about that? What can I do? You know, I'm just, and hope is the only thing that drives me. Because I know, as of right now, I had job offers for engineering or computer science, but I can't take it because, most of the time, you got to pass background check and all that. And you can't do that. You know, I can do that.
Do you have any kids? Do you have any kids born here?
I got one, yes.
So you have a citizen child.
Yes. But see, my point is, I never wanted to get married just to get papers. You know, that's not me, you know. If I'm going to do it, I want to do it because I love the person, not because I want to get papers. I could have done it a long time ago, but I don't want to do that. I'm hoping finish school, get a job. You know, everything gets everything straight. I get everything straight, and then, get a job, you know.
Well, good luck to you, Julio, and I appreciate you talking to me, man.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Fred. I mean, a big fan of you.
Okay, thanks, man. Thank you. Gracias. 19 minutes after 11 o'clock. I mean, I'm telling you, this is real stuff. These are real people. This is a real quandary that we've got to figure out how to get past. And I just am not sure that Donald Trump's hard-nosed approach is the way. I think that you got to work with people like Julio. Do you really want to throw Julio out and his citizen kid? But on the other hand, I totally get what Rich is going through, and his business is evaporating because other contractors are using people who are undocumented and will work for a lot less than citizens do. It's a damnable problem, and you're going to need some real wisdom to work through it. And I'm not sure that that sticking your chin out is the way to do it. All right, Noam, I hear we have an update on what was happening at Victoria's Secrets. What is it? Welcome back,
Duffy,
everybody.
Ken Duffy just gave me the information moments ago. So all clear outside that Victoria's Secret, Herald Square, 6th Avenue and 34th Street. It was a cooler, some sort of, don't know what was in the cooler, but it was a cooler that started the fuss, rightfully so, someone reporting it to the cops, and they cleared the area. Don't know what was in that cooler, but all clear, everything back to normal there.
Crack it. Maybe there's some beers you could, pass them around. Even the Pope has incurred the wrath of Donald Trump. Here's what the Trumpster had to say about Pope Francis in an interview with Chris Cuomo on CNN.
The Pope believes that capitalism can be a real avenue to greed. It can be really toxic and corrupt. And he's shaking his finger at you when he says it. What do you say in response to the Pope?
I'd say ISIS wants to get you. You know that ISIS wants to go in and take over the Vatican. You have heard that. You know that's a dream of theirs, to go into
he
Italy.
He talks to you about capitalism?
That.
You scare the Pope?
No, I'm going to have to scare the Pope because it's, there's only one. Look, the Pope, I hope, can only be scared by God. But the truth is, if you look at what's going on, they better hope that capitalism works because it's the only thing we have right now.
It's a great thing he went on to say, and it works properly. So the candidate for the Republican nomination, Donald Trump, taking Pope Francis to school. how do you feel about that one? Okay, John in New Jersey, what's on your mind? Thanks for calling 866 Arella. What's up? Hey, John, you there? Yeah, man, what's up?
Just a cute story, Arella. I was having breakfast with my daughter this morning. She's 5 years old, and she saw Hillary on TV, and she said to me, she said, "Daddy, who is that?" And I said, that's Hillary Clinton. And she said, well, why is she on TV so much? And I said, well, she's running for president. And she goes, ooh, I hope she doesn't win. And I said, why? And she goes, because she looks mean.
It's very telling. I mean, that's a cute story. But it also, I think that they're, I have had an affection for the Clintons for a long time. I appreciate the story and good luck with your five-year-old. I mean, Bill Clinton, during the whole Monica Gate scandal, the intern, and where his presidency really teetered, and people really believed that they had the goods on him, that they had him, they had caught him in a lie with that the Paula Jones deposition, and you couldn't have a president in office who was a liar. Look what happened to Richard Nixon. Everybody pressuring Clinton to resign. He stood his ground. The public began to feel sympathetic for him. Hillary reacted the way Hillary reacted. You know, I helped defend them on my CNBC show, Rivera Live, at the time, the highest rated on that network at the time, by the way. Parenthetically. Never really got close to the First Lady, the then First Lady, though. It seemed to me that certainly as Secretary of State, when she gave an interview, when she gave access, it was to reporters of her choice, often female reporters, not that there's anything wrong with that, but she never really gave me the time of day, even though I think I can justly be accredited with doing more than any other single person in media in saving the Clinton presidency. They played their own elitist game. And now when you see her, it's just not me, and I try to filter out my own personal experience. There's something, you know, vaguely unpleasant about, and this is strictly my subjective opinion. And God bless her. She's smart as a whip. She has great experience. I mean, she was a senator elected from the great state of New York. She was Secretary of State of the United States of America. Amazing accomplishments. And yet, you know, if you were going to pick someone to hang out with, who would you rather hang out with, Hillary or Trump? You know, I think that ultimately will be, in many ways, how people perceive them when it comes to voting, at least could be.
Something else you said, which is that you get a lot of your military analysis from watching television.
I didn't exactly say that. I watch your show and I watch other shows, and you have one of the best generals, best every retired
people.
We have
great staff.
Frankly, probably better than I could get. In all fairness, you know, what do I know? I'm a man that made a great fortune. I'm going to make our country rich, and I'm going to make our country great. But you know what? You do, and get me the right generals, and I'll see 4 or 5 generals. I'll see all sorts of people. You'll even stoop down to the colonel stuff. You go all over the place, but you have a lot of different people, and so do other shows. And they're really good people. And I watch that, and I read The Times, and I read The Wall Street Journal, and I read lots of other newspapers.
But you need a team, don't you?
And I read magazines, especially Time Magazine this week, because I'm on the cover, okay? So I especially will read that. Yeah, sure, I need a team. But, you know, by the time you get to a problem, it's going to be changed. You're going to have a whole different set of, different countries will be run by different people.
All right, so that's Trump, who admitted very, very frankly that he got all his information on issues having to do with the military. Remember, he never served, but either did Barack Obama. There's a long line. Either did Bill Clinton. George W. Bush was in the reserves, in the Texas National Guard, I guess it was. But the problem is, I mean, just as charismatic as Trump is, that's how flat Jeb Bush is. And the Times and everybody else is picking up on, kind of a tale of two rallies in New Hampshire last night. There was actually more. Christie also had one. Rubio had one. But they focused on Jeb Bush because he was the presumptive front runner until Trump's phenomenal run so far. And at the Bush Forum, I'll read from the Times, at the Bush Forum, roughly 150 voters gathered to hear him speak, politely applauding when he entered. Mr. Trump's crowd, by contrast, chanted for him and was, at least by Mr. Trump's estimation, about 2,500 strong. That was an exaggeration, as Mr. Trump later noted, I'm sort of a bragger, but not a huge one. There were still several hundred people lined up outside hoping to get seats before the event was set to begin. So there you have the enthusiasm gap that is going to be very difficult, I think. And that's why I'm saying right now, Trump has gone from huge long shot to the favorite right now, admittedly 5 months before the caucuses in Iowa or the first in the nation primary in New Hampshire. In the meantime, as Trump surges, well, he's actually kind of flat at 25 right now. Let's call it what it is. But as he does so well, clearly the front runner in every survey in every state right now, including Florida. That was the big news earlier this morning, where despite the fact that you have a young and attractive and popular senator, Marco Rubio from Florida, you have a popular former governor, Governor Jeb Bush from Florida, still Trump is beating both those men in Florida. It also shows him head-to-head against Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton has more of the problem. She's below 50% approval for the first time. Bernie Sanders, her huge, long shot, radical, left-wing, socialist competitors, Senator Bernie Sanders, the independent from Vermont, is surging up from 15% in June, 19% in July, 22% in August, to 30% now of all among Democratic primary voters. They have Clinton at 49, Sanders at 30, and Joe Biden at 10. And Biden is doing better in head-to-head matchups in key swing states than Hillary is. So maybe Joe would jump in, although I still doubt it unless Hillary totally implodes. But she's not going to get more popular. I mean, maybe Trump will get more unpopular. That's the other thing. Both Trump and Clinton they lead in terms of unpopularity. So even though they are both leaders in their respective primary races, they are both also, maybe one is a function of the other, they are both also leading in terms of unpopularity. So that might be, some trouble going forward as Trump attempts to wrap this thing up. Like I said, long way to go. But it is interesting, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen, as you listen, that what else is going on in the world? Afghanistan, Iraq, all of the other things that are going on in the world, even though the election in the United States is not until next year, next November, we are focused on it and obsessing on it so far in advance. And a lot of that, I submit to you, is because of the charisma, popularity of Donald Trump, who's made a kind of reality show out of this whole process. He is Don in Falmouth. Hi, Don. What's on your mind? Thanks for calling 866-Geraldo.
Yeah, listen, Geraldo, I've been listening to you from day one, basically.
I appreciate that.
Well, you know, you're totally off base with this immigration stuff. Last week you were saying, please, somebody tell me what to do. I got an idea.
Okay.
It might work, but I'm not going to tell you over the telephone because it's so damn complex. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to have breakfast with me some morning.
Okay.
Sit down, look me in the eye. Well, I live in Jersey, not far from you. We'll get together. What the reason I'm asking you to do it? You got a bully pulpit. You're using it totally wrong, as far as I'm concerned, as far as immigration goes.
Everybody's a promoter. Everybody's a producer. I appreciate it. But
call back and tell us.
Well, I'll buy you a cup of coffee. What, you want to say something other than making a date? Yeah. What?
Yeah, okay. If that's the way you want to do it, that's the way we'll do it. Well, that's the best way, eye to eye.
Okay,
but you
buddy.
Want to do it
All
that
right,
way?
Marty, Should Marty, take Don's information here. All right. Here's Elon in Rockland County. Hey, Elon, what's up?
Yeah, hi, Geraldo. How are you doing?
Good, okay. Thanks for calling. I haven't heard from you in a while.
Well, listen, I keep waiting for you to talk about your sailing experience, but you don't need it. I mean, you don't talk about it. I know
well, for Friday, I'm sailing up to Martha's Vineyard. I'm going to...
You really? That's
yeah,
a long
yeah.
way from New Jersey. Okay,
yeah, well, long way. That's
well, watch those sharks, you know.
My wife is so afraid of sharks, she won't go anymore. All right, so what's on your mind, buddy?
Okay, well, listen, okay, two topics, and I hope you let me run both of them by you, okay? First, I was listening to this contractor, this owner of the company, Rick, I think his name was calling here, and I want to tell you something. As a homeowner, okay, I want people like this in business, okay? And the way it's going on, he will not be in business, and what I will have here, and all homeowners, and I assume you are too, will have to rely on all those fly-by-night. That means cheap price shoes. They're coming, they're doing shoddy job, you never see them again, and by the time you finish your repairing or fixing, you end up paying three times more, okay? Now, this whole problem here is because there are laws on the book here, but because of various activism, various political interests, they are not being enforced, and we're losing, on the long run, we're all going to be a loser here, okay? This was one thing. The other thing here is people keep talking about what's coming from south of a border. Well, in the past, I was watching on TV this program here, okay, about people that are coming from China, okay? It's like an organized trip here. They come here, they have those here, and they come here for one purpose, to have a baby here, so the baby become to be a U.S. citizen. They stay here for another week, and then they're going back.
You know, that is a real issue. There are 34,000 so-called... pregnancy tourists who come here to give birth to their children. I think that, and I appreciate the call. Thanks, buddy, and don't be a stranger. You know, I think that isn't Jeb Bush onto something when he says the answer is not to change the Constitution of the United States to abolish birthright citizenship? Isn't the answer in enforcement? If some tourist is coming to the United States and she's 8 months pregnant, I mean, is she wearing an overcoat? I mean, can't you ask that question of people coming in? That would not be unconstitutional. That would not constitute a violation of existing federal law, in my opinion. It's a question of there are also agencies, tourist agencies, travel agencies, that are sponsoring more and more of these groups year after year. It would seem to me a pretty easy process to track down who these travel agencies are and enforce the law that crack down on the travel agencies and say that there's some kind of penalty if you are knowingly allowing pregnant people to come for the specific purpose of giving birth in the United States. I think you could build an enforcement argument that could cut down dramatically on birthright tourists, on pregnancy tourism, and abolish this this annoying problem. I mean, it's 34,000 kids a year. I mean, in a country of 330 million, it's not a whole big deal, and many of them go home, but they go home with the U.S. citizenship. If it is so irksome to so many people, it seems to me that enforcement, as Governor Bush correctly points out, he incidentally going on the offensive.
Conan O'Brien had a funny bit about all the people trying to explain why their names came up on the Ashley Madison website. You know, the hackers are now dumping all that information. Yeah, I hope you can hear this.
Today, the hackers posted the names and emails of Ashley Madison's 40 million users. So as you can imagine, today there are a lot of people eager to explain why their names showed up in the Ashley Madison database. We talked to a few. Take a look.
My niece Ashley goes to University of Wisconsin in Madison. I was trying to send her a Facebook.
I have an Ashley Madison brand laptop. I thought I had to log into their website to turn it on.
I know what it was. It was that day I caught my cat walking across my keyboard. She must have entered all my personal information.
Someone clearly assumed my identity, set up a fake account, and then placed me in bed with this woman that isn't my wife.
Pretty funny stuff, but you can imagine a lot of very embarrassed people out there. Jim, thank you so much for holding on. I'm sorry to keep you waiting. What's on your mind? Can you say it in a hurry?
Yeah, it's not a problem, man. What I wanted to say is that the reason why Trump is successful in this is not just because of his immigration stance. It's because of his saying of "Make America Great Again." The town halls are filled with middle-class, hardworking people who are forgotten about. We finally have a candidate to listen to who is not one of the corrupt Democratic and Republican candidates. Both parties are corrupt. You got the Speaker of the House. You have the Senate Majority Leader that is totally corrupt and in the pocket of Obama. This is why. When he talks in workman's terms. Even if he doesn't have...
Go ahead, buddy. Here, all right. Good enough. You got your main headline in there, Jim, anyway. We're out of time for the day. Great calls. We're getting a lot of calls from small businesses on the immigration issue. We'll talk to them tomorrow.